another. With the name of love above all other. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Hey, it's good to have you once again with us here on the show where we talk about evangelization, we talk about discipleship. The bottom line is we talk about Jesus and his great impact on our lives and how we can serve him on a daily basis. Hey, do you know anybody who went to World Youth Day over in Krakow a couple weeks ago? Huge event. And it's a life changer for many of our young people today. And I know that all the adults that go there, their lives change too. There's something special about a pilgrimage where millions of people come together and focus on really Jesus, but they want to see Jesus through the Holy Father, Pope Francis. And once again, he delivers, never disappoints. The first World Youth Day that I went on was in Paris, France. In Paris, France, we had the opportunity to cover World Youth Day for EWTN. And after that was Rome and Toronto. Or was it the other way around? I think it was Toronto and then Rome. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, but that's what we're going to talk about today. In the first part of the show, we're going to talk about the experience of the World Youth Day in Krakow. And joining us in just a few minutes is Justin Stroh, Faith Formation Director down at Divine Mercy in Faribault. Also joining us is Claire Jensen. She's going to be a freshman at the U of M. She's from New Brighton, St. John the Baptist. She's going to join Justin to talk about her experience with Bishop Cousins and about 50 others that went on this pilgrimage to Krakow. I got to tell you that going on one of these pilgrimages is it's unlike any other experience. Very different than going to Boundary Water. Very different than the North Shore. It is not only a great spiritual pilgrimage, but physically it's a challenge because you are walking, oftentimes in heat. You are walking from venue to venue, mass to talks to experiences to meet up with your friends. Oh, yeah, you got to get something to eat. And then, of course, the highlight is the vigil on Saturday night. Usually the Holy Father will speak to the group and then he says, night-night, and everybody is up all night trying to get some sleep, but usually talking and walking around. And in Toronto, it was a rainstorm in the middle of it. And then the Holy Father comes back in the morning and gives an amazing message. It really is an experience unlike any other. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about that today. Also, on the final segment of the show, we're going to talk about what's happening in the Latino Ministry Department. Estella is going to join us, and she's going to talk about Dia de la Familia Latina. I think I got that right. That's my Spanish. That's about the extent of my Spanish. Of course, I do. I know of just a few other phrases, but I can't get around very well. So we're going to talk about what's happening in the Latino community a little bit later on the show. Might even have a couple surprises for you. But we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Stay tuned. We're going to talk about all things World Youth Day. Rediscover.
We have driven God out of the public square, and yet we cry out, what's happening? Regular contributor Jenny Seufert.
Really, we have totally ignored the normal ways that children grow and mature. And we've taken away all of their support system. Their families aren't available for them the way they once were. Their extended families aren't as available as they once were. So families are alone. So many institutions that we depended on have simply gone, and I feel sorry for young families. No, I truly do, because I think they don't know where to go. I think this is why Relevant Radio attracts listeners, because people are saying, wow, they have a plan. And it's worked in the past. And their plan, of course, is Jesus Christ and his Blessed Mother and a reasonable way to live that has survived now for 2,000 years and that has allowed people to flourish.
The timeless truths of our Catholic faith. Talk radio for Catholic life. On call, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. World Youth Day, it's behind us, but for many of the participants, it's all ahead of them now because they received some marching orders and some experiences over in Krakow that they will never, ever forget. I've been on three of them. We got Paris, we got Rome, we got Toronto. I'll never forget any of it. I really won't. It was just that good and that impactful in my own life. Joining us today from all the way from the hinterland, from Faribault, Minnesota, the Divine Mercy Parish is Justin Stroh, who's been down there for a while doing a great job. And he's no stranger to Relevant Radio and to ministry in the Twin Cities area. He was part of the leadership that brought about 50-some kids and young people to Krakow. He's joining us in just a moment. Also, we're going to have Claire Jensen joining us. But Justin, so good to have you back on the show.
It's good to be here.
Have you got your sleep back?
No, I'm still waking. Going to sleep at 5 and waking up at 11. And then staying up for 4 more hours and then finally falling asleep again.
Let's start from the beginning. This is not your first rodeo, is it? You've been to World Youth Day a few other times.
1993 was my first World Youth Day in Denver, Colorado.
That was your first.
Unforgettable.
In a way, isn't that kind of the gold standard?
I think so, because from Denver on, World Youth Day exploded. I mean, 500,000 people came, and it was well organized by Cardinal Stafford, and St. John Paul II said, hey, you're in charge now. And he was, and he did a fantastic job growing the movement.
Yeah, and we've been all over the world, Manila, everywhere. It's Spain. It's just been incredible.
Manila was 5 million people, reportedly.
But who's counting? So tell me a little bit about the trip to Krakow. You went with how many?
Well, it was a total of 48 pilgrims, actually, and Bishop Cousins was our spiritual director, and we had really a great group of high school youth as well as a group of young adults, pretty evenly split, and some fantastic adults who helped chaperone and lead, and youth ministers. It was really quite a group. Mm-hmm. Of people and families too. We had a few family groups that were with us.
Now, give our listeners a kind of a description of what this pilgrimage is about. You all pack up with your suitcases. You stay at the Hyatt, and you get room service.
Yeah.
You get room service every day. How does that work?
I've heard, Jeff, that some people actually do that, and I say you're missing the whole point. No, it's really a pilgrimage. So you have some options. Sometimes people do stay in very simple lodging, which would be like on a gym floor. Mm-hmm. We stayed in college dorms, which was, I think, the better way to go because you can get some sleep that way, and you need it. Boy, do you need it. And some people do stay in hotels. So, mm-hmm.
So when you go, it's not just the going to it, but once you get there, the highlight, of course, is the vigil. I mean, that is the highlight in the Mass. But before that, there's a whole week of activities.
It's just like Christmas. You know, when you're anticipating Christmas and Advent, the anticipation is sometimes sweeter than the event itself. And I've always experienced that with World Youth Day because when we, for example, in Advent, when we offer our little penances that we offer to the Lord, we grow. And in that growth, in that period of time of moving toward the event, there's a deepening that happens within you that can receive what is about to be given mm-hmm. at the event itself.
Mm. I want to bring into the conversation a young lady who went on the pilgrimage from St. John the Baptist in New Brighton. That's Claire Jensen. She's going to be a freshman at the U of M. And Claire, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you.
It's good. You look refreshed. You must be over this.
I would not say I'm quite over it, but it was quite an experience.
Is this your first?
This is my first. It's actually my first time out of the country as well.
Yeah, so you got both there.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. What was your overall impression? Now we'll get down to some details, but overall, if someone says, what was that like? What would you say?
Wow. Definitely, it was a pilgrimage, not a vacation, as we reminded ourselves. I was just left completely restored in faith in the young people of the church. It was unreal to be surrounded by, I think, about 2 million at the vigil. all from around the world of the same faith. It was completely amazing.
Mm. Now, how did you pack for it?
That was the challenge. Actually, the night before, I was weighing my bag and measuring it to make sure it was carry-on size. I brought a lot of stuff for the cold, and it actually ended up being quite warm most of the days. So that was unfortunate, but it was pretty easy to pack. Justin gave us a nice list, so we had everything we needed.
Very good. How about you, Justin? You of course, you're a veteran, so you probably had everything in just a little duffel bag.
If only it was that simple. I have a bad bag, so I have to bring an air mattress for the overnight. But really, it is true. You really want to pack very, very light because, as you know, when you're walking around with 100,000 people smushing around you, you really don't want to be carrying anything else.
But isn't that a metaphor for life in a way?
I think so. I think, the giving up of many things and being prepared for what is about to happen is life, for sure.
And that's the nature of a pilgrimage. When we go to, I go to the Holy Land regularly and other places, and we tell people all the time that this is a pilgrimage, and that means that a pilgrimage is basically, and Claire, I'd be curious what you think about this, it's kind of taking life. And you're going to be going to the University of Minnesota. You've been through high school. What high school did you go to?
I went to Irondale High School in New Brighton.
Oh, we played them in the state championship in football. Chaska lost in 1975. Anyway, that's another show. But you take all of life, you take all of your experiences, who you are, your strengths, your weaknesses, and all that, and you squish it into a week. Mm. And it seems to be even a little bit more intense. In other words, if you don't like discomfort, it shows up. If you want your own way, it shows up. If you want your own food, it shows up. If you don't like it when people are insistent on their way, it's, you know what I mean? It's a pilgrimage, sort of like an amplification system for who you are. Did you find that true?
Definitely, definitely. Actually, a big reason I wanted to go on the pilgrimage is because it is like life, and I'm having such a life change going to college. I thought this would be a great experience to just really solidify my faith and reassure me before I go off to college a little more on my own. And it did just that. It was absolutely fantastic.
Mm. Did you notice anything, Claire, when you were over there that started coming out of you when the pressure, the heat, the lack of food, and then you thought, that I didn't expect that to happen in my life?
Yeah, I think a big mantra that we said was Jesu ufam tobre, which is Jesus, I trust in you. And a lot of times whenever I was a little uncomfortable or nervous, for example, on the 9-hour plane ride, I'd never been on anything like that. I just tried to offer it up because it really was so out of your control. There's nothing else you could do. And just the overwhelming peace, and especially being surrounded by, 48 people that are so solid in their faith, it was so reassuring. And, you got through everything.
Did you make some friends on the trip that you think, they're going to be friends for a while?
I made fantastic friends. Actually, none of us had phone service, so then when we got back to the airport, we were madly rushing to, exchange numbers.
Wait a minute, no phone service?
No phone.
Whoa. Did you shake for a while? Was there any withdrawal?
Maybe, the first day or two, but I'm so, so glad we were without phones. It was just amazing to disconnect, and you wouldn't have made the same connections.
Well, two million people walking around looking for Pokemon in Krakow is not going to work. You're not going to have a good pilgrimage, I wouldn't think. Justin, did you have to go without a phone?
No, I had to have a phone, unfortunately. Yeah, I took it, but it was
how many
good
Pokemon
that I
did you get in Krakow?
I don't play that game, Jeff. Sorry, folks.
No, I'm kidding with you. What was the theme of this particular year? What was the overarching theme that the Holy Father was trying to get across?
Mm. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Mm. And the works of mercy. He's released his new catechism called the Ducat, which is all about the works of mercy, actually living out what we say and what we believe. And the Holy Father really believes that the importance of accompanying young people in works of doing good is key to the growth of the church.
Mm-hmm. Now, prior to the vigil, there are a number of holy sites. There's a number of churches, cathedrals, events that take place. Tell me a little bit about those.
Well, when we arrived in Poland, we arrived in Warsaw for days in the diocese, and that was getting to know the culture of Poland and hearing the story, especially of Warsaw, and the people there are amazing people. They They shared with us their lives, really. We all stayed in their homes in that parish. We stayed in a parish called St. Patrick's.
Mm-hmm.
From there, we went to the holiest place in Poland, which is Jasna Góra, where Our Lady of Częstochowa is. And I brought an icon along today.
Describe that icon, because you know, some people listening, they wouldn't know what you're talking about, but if you described it, it's, sure. I've seen that.
Sure. Yeah, it's the what people often refer to as the Black Madonna, the
right.
woman with the scars on her face. And she is the Queen of Poland. I mean, mm-hmm. that's literally how they look at her. And at 9 o'clock every night, they stop whatever they're doing and they pray a prayer of consecration to her, specifically remembering her in the holy site in the Jasna Góra. And the shrine itself is just incredibly impressive when you approach it. There's flags of the nations, and you walk in, and it seems like complete chaos because there's a lot of people there. But really, it's organized chaos. People are going to confession over here, and there's a little mass happening over there, and you walk into this gigantic church. And then on the left, there's this little tiny unassuming hallway that leads into the place where she is at. And everybody is trying to get in there, so they're packed like sardines, and you can't breathe, but you're at Mass, which is kind of consoling, and you can't breathe. Bishop Cousin celebrated Mass right there in front of the holy icon, and it was something I'll never forget.
Oh, I imagine.
He had said to me, he said, this is something he has wanted to do for his entire life, and for me personally, for the last 20 years, I've wanted to be in the presence of Our Lady of Częstochowa.
What's the meaning of Our Lady of Częstochowa? What is it? What did it mean to you? To you? I mean, there's a lot of icons. There's a lot of manifestations of Our Lady, Guadalupe, and you can go on and on. But what was it about this that really spoke to you?
You could say that Our Lady of Częstochowa is the Guadalupe of Europe.
Okay.
In some ways, not that it's an image given to us from heaven, but it is in some ways, because it's believed to be Saint Luke is believed to be the writer on the tabletop of the Holy Family.
Mm.
So you feel like you're looking at this, you know, here's the table of the Holy Family, and here she is looking at you on this. And she's an amazing image. I mean, the artwork that is there, the eyes specifically speak to you. You see a human person, the greatest human person that ever lived, most likely, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure, I guess.
Certainly the most perfect.
Yeah, that's right.
If you're judging by sin, it doesn't get much better than that.
And they decorate her with these amazing, what I call templates. I'm sure there's another name for them. The one that we have here in the studio today was actually commissioned by St. John Paul II for her for the 1,000th anniversary of Christianity in Poland. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, the icon itself is tied up with that 1,050-year, this year, anniversary of Christianity in Poland.
Speaking of St. John Paul II, you couldn't go to a World Youth Day in Krakow without that guy's
especially
name,
not this one.
That guy's name coming up. How did Pope Francis share the stage with another pope?
Well, I don't think he had to.
Okay.
I think the people themselves knew that everything that was happening at World Youth Day happened because of the baptism of St. John Paul II.
Mm-hmm.
When we visited Wadowice at the end of our pilgrimage, we went to that font, and there was a real sense of the folks in that church. They were all, you know, beautiful altars, great. There was relics of Padre Pio. I mean, it was a fantastic church. But where did people want to be? They wanted to be at the baptismal font. So these people see that St. John Paul II is the founder of World Youth Day, yet they also see him as the conduit of God's grace in today's modern times.
Mm-hmm.
He is, in a sense, the Moses of the Polish people.
Sure.
I mean, so I think in a very real way, people just realizing that they don't feel a sense of there's a competition between popes at all, but yet a real compliment.
Oh, that's beautiful. If you just joined us, we're talking with Justin Stroh, Claire Jensen. Both of them went to World Youth Day. And joining us right now is a surprise guest. And Justin, I don't know if you'll be able to guess the voice of this fine lady, but welcome, Helen.
Hi.
I've got Helen Healy with
yes,
us.
Yes, I do.
Helen Healy. And Helen, you went to Krakow. You experienced this with Justin and with Claire Jensen. Have you recovered since being back?
Well, it is a little bit of adjustment to come back to the real world here. But I'm doing fine.
Very good. You and I joked about your packing before you went over there, and you wanted to make sure that you didn't take too much. How did that all work out for you?
Well, I think it worked really well. I think you have to be practical when you're going on a pilgrimage,
mm-hmm.
and you're thinking about the things that are essential in life. And if you can't get along without, extra beauty supplies or curling irons, those sorts of things, you have to be able to get along without those.
Sure.
And I think the main thing that people are really concerned about is the vigil. Mm-hmm. And spending the night outdoors. And so we prepared a little bit for that, a little bit more than the other days.
Yeah.
There.
It can be difficult. I mean, you're up all night. Oftentimes people have to walk a long distance to get there. Helen, what stood out in your experience over at World Youth Day? What are you going to take away from that?
Well, I was really surprised with my renewed spiritual commitment and love for Sister Faustina.
Mm, okay. For those that are listening, they're not familiar with who that is. Who is Sister Faustina?
Well, Sister Faustina was a nun that was, she was a young girl named Helen, and she grew up in Poland. And she became a sister of Divine Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And she has written down her memoir or her diary of her experiences with Christ. And it's a very long diary. And I had actually first read that in the early 90s. And when I saw this thick diary of Sister Faustina, I was so interested in what Jesus said to her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she actually saw Christ and heard his voice.
Wow.
And I think I really focused on what Jesus said to Sister Faustina. But what happened on the pilgrimage after going to the pilgrimage, during this time when Jesus was sharing with Sister Faustina, he asked her to have a painting that was painted of him, signed with the words, "I trust in you."
Sure.
Jesus, I trust in you.
And many people are familiar with that all over the world now.
Right. Well, we had a chance as a group to go into the chapel where that painting is venerated and hanging on the wall, and to venerate, honor her remains, her. And that was one of the most profound experiences for me. And when I walked out of the chapel and I picked up the diary again, I wasn't as interested as in what Jesus said to Sister Faustina, but I had new eyes and a new awareness of what actually Sister Faustina wrote in the diary.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some very meaningful things about how to live your life, our life, my life, in this day and age.
Sure. What would you say to people? What is a tidbit of wisdom that you would give our listeners from that experience and what you read from the diary for daily living?
Well, I think she actually lists a blueprint of three things to do to live a merciful life,
mm-hmm,
towards others. And the first thing is that when we're dealing with people in our daily life and we're having interactions with others, that we should do acts of mercy.
Right.
So this was very evident on the trip. I experienced it for myself from one of the young girls. I got very tired and could no longer, I think, carry my backpack. And one of the girls just said, "I'll carry your backpack."
Mm-hmm.
You know, do an act of mercy. You know, this morning I've been up and we have an elderly member of our family, and I called her and asked her, "Is there anything I can do for you today?"
Yeah.
And as a mom of, I have seven children, you know, oftentimes I get tired and I don't want to do those extra things, those extra acts of mercy that, you know, make someone's life better.
I get tired.
Sure.
But how can I just do an act of mercy? So that was the first thing that Sister Faustina said. As you know, Christians, as Catholics, we
and you have a very tangible takeaway there, and you can put this into practice in your life.
Yep.
That's great. Well, Justin's with us. Say hi, Justin.
Hi. How's it going there?
And
good to see you, Helen.
he mentioned that, and for our listeners that don't know, your brother was on the trip too, and his first name got changed a few years ago to Bishop. But but he was on the pilgrimage, and Justin mentioned that you all celebrated Mass in front of Our Lady of Częstochowa, this beautiful icon. What was that like for you growing up with your brother and then suddenly realizing you were all celebrating Mass in front of this world-famous icon in Poland with your brother who's a bishop?
It's speechless. I don't know what to say about that. It's such a blessing to see someone truly love Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a witness of how my brother has done that. And he's loved Christ with his life, and to see him fulfill that is just, as a bishop, is great. If I wish I had a sister that I could see fulfill that as a wife and mother. It's those vocations are your vocation. To see someone fulfill their vocation to the ultimate degree,
uh-huh,
is just a wonderful thing. And I've been very, very fortunate to see that him fulfill that in his life.
Well, I appreciate you taking some time to talk to us on the show today. I wanted to make sure that we brought you in because we had a good time talking with you and your great husband Tim before you went. And I've been on three of them, and it was just fun to listen to somebody's anticipation of going to one of these, and then hearing, wow, it really did have a big impact on your life. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
That's Helen
Bye,
Healy.
Justin.
Bye-bye, Helen. Good to hear your voice.
Helen Healy, who was one of the chaperones on the trip, good friend, and the sister of Bishop Andrew Cousins. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue talking with Justin Stroh and Claire Jensen, and we want to know a little bit more about what they got out of World Youth Day and maybe a couple of things that they're just never going to forget. So don't go away. Stay with us, and we're going to talk about what's happening in the Latino community also. That's coming up on the Rediscover Hour.
Pope Francis has invited the faithful to turn to comedy in the Year of Mercy. For a limited time, Wyoming Catholic College is offering a free online opportunity to discover Dante in the Year of Mercy.
As Dante and Virgil descend to increasingly lower levels of hell, we feel the thermometer dropping, both in terms of the ice which holds the souls imprisoned, but also in terms of the spiritual coldness of the individual souls.
Dr. Jason Baxter, Assistant Professor of Humanities at Wyoming Catholic College, presents Dante in the Year of Mercy, exploring a 700-year-old comedy with a special urgency in our modern world. Wyoming Catholic College offers this online series at no cost for a limited time. Visit wyomingcatholic.org/Dante to begin your very own exploration of Dante in the Year of Mercy. wyomingcatholic.org/Dante. Wyoming Catholic College, teaching students to think, to be virtuous, and to lead.
There's nothing like seeing 2 million young people all excited and all focused on one thing, and that's Jesus. And of course, at World Youth Day, they're focused on Pope Francis, who is the vicar of Christ. It doesn't get a whole lot better than that. And for the older people on the trip to these World Youth Days, it's very, very encouraging, and it instills hope for the future to see so many young people so excited. Joining us today, continuing our conversations, Justin Stroh from the Divine Mercy down in Faribault, and also Claire Jensen from St. John the Baptist in New Brighton. She's going to be a a freshman at the U of M. Both of you, welcome back to the show. Claire, I want to know from you, this is your first World Youth Day at Krakow. Are there a couple of things, one or two things that if somebody said, will this stick with you the rest of your life? Are there a couple of things that you would say, I'm never going to forget that? That will become a part of my life for years to come. If I get married or become religious, whatever it is, I'll never forget that.
Definitely. Actually, there's so many, it's hard to choose. I would say, for me, a really big night was we went to what was called the Mercy Center, a big arena in Krakow, and we had catechesis there all day. And at night, we had adoration with Matt and Mar singing. And there were 18,000 U.S. pilgrims there at that time just praising the Lord, and it was absolutely unreal. I've never felt so surrounded by love for the Lord, so at peace, and to know that all of these people just make up one section of the world of the same faith. It was absolutely unbelievable. I'll never forget that night.
You speak about 18,000 from the U.S., and of course that's a drop in the bucket compared to the population of the entire world. I'm directing this to both of you, Justin, and to Claire. When you go to Rome, this happens too, and that is you suddenly realize we as Americans, we ain't it. There's a lot more it out there, isn't there?
Amen. There is, and it's a vast Catholic world. One of the beauties of World Youth Day is you get to be a pilgrim along with everybody in the world on your left and literally on your right, and you can smell their body odor because you're squished together walking down the street. Sorry, but it's the truth.
And it is true.
But it is wonderful because you hear their songs, you hear their culture, you hear their joy. And in some ways, I asked myself, you know, geez, I mean, these folks are so engaged with one another. And as Americans, we tend to be very, you know, organized in a certain way. And
we look the same.
And it challenges us. And I always feel challenged by other cultures. It's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, you can walk down the streets and all of a sudden you realize, hey, those are English-speaking people.
Well, when somebody asks for your bottle of water so they can have a sip and they drink the whole thing, you realize you really are sharing everything.
Yeah.
Just keep it, I tell them.
Justin, is there something from the trip as a chaperone, as an adult, that from this particular trip that you would say, I'm never going to forget that? Not just the memory, but you're going to take something from it that's going to become a part of walking with Christ here back home.
Big time. When you're in front of the stage where the Holy Father is and you see a gigantic version of the image of Divine Mercy behind him, and you see all the other parts of this pilgrimage, which there are many, many more things that we haven't talked about today, that you begin to realize that what St. Faustina wrote in her diary was being fulfilled at this World Youth Day. Mm-hmm. She had many visions of things like this occurring, multitudes gathered with the Pope proclaiming mercy. And you feel like you're a part of, another book in the Bible almost. You really feel like the sense of fulfillment of something God has. So that's going to stick with me for the rest of my life, for sure.
For the sake of our listeners who might not be familiar with Sister Faustina, her diary, Divine Mercy, the diary is something that anybody can read now, can't they?
That's correct.
Get this at most stores.
Well, it was banned for a while, and St. John Paul II, before he became Pope, was in charge of reviewing it a second time to see why it was banned. And after he went through it, they realized there were some mistranslations. They cleaned it up, and it was approved. And then 6 months later, he became Pope.
Yeah.
And it was really became a huge part of his papacy. He was deeply influenced by what she wrote, by her encounter with the rays of love that stream from the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Doesn't that say something about the Catholic faith in general, in that you have this humble nun who is writing in a diary? Now, diary is typically something that's very personal. It's your own thoughts. And she focused on mercy, and that seemed to be what God was leading her into, is the truths of divine mercy. Did she have any idea that this would become a book read by millions, and that this would become a book that a pope would say, no, the world needs to hear it, and that there would be a gathering of millions of people around the world to focus on what she wrote about? This is a level playing field in the Catholic Church, isn't it?
I believe so. She had, matter of fact, when the Lord would tell her things like, write everything down, because what I'm giving to you is to prepare the world for my final coming.
Neither.
she would respond with, I am not worthy of this. This is, you know, how could this possibly be? Mm-hmm. And then her spiritual director would confirm and say, I want you to continue to write things down and to pursue this. And so you see this kind of back and forth with St. Faustina and her spiritual director and Jesus, where she's a bit reluctant, actually, but she ends up going full bore on it and giving herself completely to the divine mercy of Jesus, which is what it's really all about, is just that's what this year of mercy is about, being submerged into the ocean of the mercy of our God, who absorbs everything, even our sin. Mm-hmm. And when in absorbing our sin, we're transformed. And that's part of, you know, when you see 2 million people experiencing that, mm-hmm. in a unique way through a pilgrimage, you know that something is changing in the world for the better.
Now, this is your eighth World Youth Day. As you compare this to other World Youth Days, what's a common denominator, and what was different about this one?
Well, the common denominator really is St. John Paul II, because he's the founder of World Youth Day and his remarkable life. And what's different about it is Pope Francis, mm-hmm. and that is his focus in a way on putting our faith into action. He says there are to be no couch potatoes in the Catholic Church.
He used that word.
Yeah, he did. Claire remembers.
Yes.
How do you say that in Spanish?
I think he said it in Italian.
We'll ask Estella in the next segment.
That's a good idea. Yeah, he's saying, you know, he doesn't really want to see people looking for cheap thrills.
Mm-hmm.
That he wants, don't settle for early retirement, he said.
Mm-hmm. This is a different message than prior popes, and don't you think? In some ways, it's much more street level.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Claire, what is it about Pope Francis, do you think, appeals so much to young people like you today?
I think Pope Francis is just very honest, and he doesn't have like a high feel about him. He feels like he's on the same level, talking directly to you. When he talks, it's not like he's giving a speech. You know, he's talking directly to each person in the audience, and he said, don't be couch happy. We have a generation that, I think he said, is retiring before they've even grown up. Like, you're giving up on faith before you've even reached your highest moments. And he talked about like mountaintop experiences and valley experiences, and you're going to have both. And listening to him was obviously a mountaintop experience, but he's very real about how you can apply that to daily life and just show love and don't be couch happy. You can be happy with material things, but there's so much more that God wants to give you.
What are you going to do with your life? You're going to the University of Minnesota this fall. What are you going to study?
I am. I'm studying biology in the College of Biological Sciences. I actually have no idea what I want to do with my life. So a big part of this pilgrimage for me was kind of being more open to vocation. I saw it around me in so many ways. You know, typically you're not surrounded for 14 days by priests and religious and sisters and bishops everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it was so beautiful to see so many people living out what God had called them to. And I'm sure it wasn't a lot of their original plans that they had themselves. So I think for me, a big takeaway is being a lot more open to whatever God might be calling me to. You know, I don't have it all figured out at this point. But World Youth Day was an amazing, amazing experience that really helped me find an inner peace with following God's path.
And it was your first time out of the country.
It was, yes.
Get in that tube and fly across the Atlantic.
Yes. I was very nervous. We had a 9-hour plane ride, and I had never done anything like that.
Have you ever seen a pope in person before in the States?
No, never.
So this was new in a lot of ways.
A lot of ways.
What went on in your heart as, and I'm assuming the pope did this because I didn't see the footage, but when the helicopter circled?
Oh, wow.
When the moment you realized, and everyone said, that's Papa. What happened in your heart?
You know, at the vigil, everyone just all of a sudden stood up, and we didn't see anything happening on the stage, so we were like, what's going on? And then we heard like the low roar of the helicopter, and people started screaming. And in my heart, I just thought, like, this is the moment that we've been waiting for. Like Justin said, it's the whole thing, you know, looking forward to it is almost sweeter, but in that moment, nothing was sweeter than the Pope arriving.
You know, in some ways, and I know, and I totally get it, and how exciting it is to see the Pope, and it was for me too, even from the press. I covered it from the television perspective for EWTN, but it's a taste of what the joy and the expectation and the awe that must fill the hearts of the people when we suddenly see Jesus. Can you imagine what would life have been like there if they had told you it's not the Pope, Jesus is coming down in the helicopter? I mean, this is a taste. You know what I'm saying, Justin? Is that there is a difference between Jesus and the Pope.
In a way, we have this experience because they have these moments of Eucharistic adoration where, of course, our Lord is truly present. Mm-hmm. What you're talking about is something, you know, where he would be manifested to us, like maybe St. Faustina saw him.
Right.
I think our hearts are filled with joy knowing that what we believe as Catholics is not just a nice idea, but it's something that truly is the core of our being. It's what we're looking for, mm-hmm. thirsting for.
Yeah. And everything that is beautiful and everything that strikes our heart with awe and amazement, like the meeting of a pope, which you all did in Krakow, does point to even a deeper reality, and that is Jesus.
Mm.
And that to one day, on your last breath, to find yourself with him and to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, to where you're not sharing Jesus in a crowd, you are one with him. Forever and ever and ever is just our reward. We call it the beatific vision. We got big names in the Catholic Church. Beatific vision just means hanging with God for eternity.
And that connects with the sense of beatitudes, like living the beatitudes, which was another main message of the Pope's.
Right. So when's the next one? What's the next schedule for the Pope? Does he make an announcement about
Claire,
that?
Claire, do you want to say?
He did. Panama.
Panama.
Panama 2019.
A little closer to home.
Yeah. We'll stop in Guadalupe on the way.
And you wonder what his thoughts are about Panama. Why Panama? Because every World Youth Day, there's a logic behind it. You know, it's not they're not throwing darts at a board. They're really saying we need to be there next. Any ideas as to why Panama might be the next one?
Well, World Youth Days have always had the charism of evangelizing the city that they're held in. For example, Denver, my first World Youth Day, mm-hmm. they predicted, oh my gosh, their murder rate has skyrocketed, you know, the crime rate, and then here comes World Youth Day, we think it's going to be a disaster, and suddenly the crime rate goes to zero and remains at a low rate, according to Cardinal Staff, who I talked to in Paris at World Youth Day, because he was just walking down the street.
That's one time you can just grab cardinals and talk to
them. You just grab them. You just say, hey, anyway, you're Cardinal Stafford, aren't you? But, you know, the beauty of that, that it really does evangelize the city it's in. I think that's the goal. You know, mm-hmm. and Panama is a significant place for us as U.S. citizens. We developed the Panama Canal. It's a passageway. So perhaps part of the message is...
Might be part of the message.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. And any time, you know, back in the New Testament, when Jesus went to a city, the city changed.
Mm.
When the presence of Jesus was in a city changed, lives changed. And I think that's true when the Holy Father goes to any country, but especially World Youth Day, there's a certain imprint, a holy residue that is left in that city that it will never be the same again, because really, Jesus has come there in a powerful way.
Anybody that went to World Youth Day in 1993 or other World Youth Days for that matter, but mostly I hear this from people that were in 93 because they're of my age bracket, will talk about how that was a transformative experience for them, but it was a transformative experience for the whole country mm-hmm. and their parishes, and they recount stories that are along those lines.
Any afterglow? Are you planning to do anything to kind of follow up on the experience?
Claire?
I've grown up in a Catholic family. We've been very involved, but I was totally inspired to start going to daily Mass.
Oh, beautiful.
Yesterday was sleep recovery, but from now on, I would love to make that a priority, if not daily, at least, you know, more than once a week, because doing daily Mass for 14 days in a row was just so beautiful. And I woke up yesterday morning and I was like, something's missing. And it was daily Mass.
And so, 2 million people.
Yes. Ah. And 2 million people.
Where are y'all? Where'd everybody go?
And a rigorous schedule.
And empty water bottles. Well, I want to thank both of you for joining us on the Rediscover Hour today. Justin Stroh, it's always good to talk to you. Well, I've known you all the way back from the Radix days.
Yeah.
Way back in EWTN time. And Life on the Rock. And you haven't aged a bit.
It's World Youth Day, I guess.
And you're a real pioneer. You're a great guy. And Claire, it's nice to meet you. And you know, I'm just going to ask our audience to pray for you, that God would lead you, guide you at the U of M biology, and that whatever you choose to do, that this World Youth Day will always always have something to add to your life and change your life, and that God will use you in a powerful way.
Thank you so much.
Good to have you guys with us. And we'll get you back, Justin, to next World Youth Day. Of course, we'll get you back before then, but it's always good to talk
good
to you.
Here.
Stay tuned, my friends. When we come back, we're going to look into the Latino community. What's happening right now? Estella's going to join us and give us an update on a really special event that's coming up August 13th. I think you're going to want to know about this. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Coordinated Business Systems.
Customers first, always.
President of Coordinated Business Systems, Jim Arricchio, and Minnesota Twins great, Dan Gladden.
Jim, communication is a big part of winning. Miscommunication in baseball can cost you the ballgame.
And it's the same in business. Miscommunication costs money.
That's why companies rely on unified communications from Coordinated, right?
Exactly. It unifies voice systems, data communication networks, mobile devices, even video conferencing.
And that creates better workflow, enhances communication, and helps customers generate new business.
Exactly. Unified Communications is another Customers First Always program that is a flexible, lower-cost way for companies to communicate and collaborate.
Jim, I did some collaborating today, and we decided you're buying lunch for the whole team, Coordinated and the Twins.
We decided?
We, me, same thing.
Unified Communications. Learn more at coordinated.com.
Customers first, always.
Oh, yes.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Being Catholic is grand. Being Catholic is big, as World Youth Day really demonstrates, just talking to Justin Stroh about their experience over in Krakow. And when you go to Rome or you go to any of these events where the Holy Father is, you're going to meet people from different backgrounds and different languages. And probably the largest language in the world demonstrated by the sheer numbers is the Latino community. And of course, our Holy Father has a Latino background, and he is just really, really speaking to the Latino community today. And I've been to a few conferences recently myself where, as an English speaker, I'm realizing more and more that the fastest growing area of the church is the Latino community. And joining us is Estella Manchero. Estella, I never really get your name completely right because I'm Anglo. But
that's fine, Jeff.
It's good to have you on the show again. And you head up the Latino office in the Twin Cities here at the Archdiocese. And I want to just start off by saying you are doing an amazing job. And if people understood how much you do in the Latino community to promote Christ, you'd get an award every year. So thank you for everything that you do.
Sure. I don't do it alone. I have a great team of people in my office, and also tremendous leaders in every single parish that we are all in the mission together. So I cannot take the whole.
you do a great job. But did you hear any feedback from the Latino community concerning World Youth Day?
No, yet we have actually two Latinos that went from my own parish, and we are going to receive them on Sunday. So I am excited about hearing their experiences over there. Yes, I am very excited to hear that.
Estella, tell us about this big event that's going to be taking place, and what's going to be happening.
Well, all right, we have our fifth already Latino Family Day, and it's going to be in next Saturday, August 13th, at the St. Thomas Academy in Mendota Heights. And we are very well organized with over 350 volunteers.
Wow.
We have a team in different parishes that are in charge of different subcommittees. And of course, you know, each team has a pair of captains leading that. And we have meetings every single Thursday to get us, you know, to get ourselves organized. But we are going to spend, this year we are having the soccer tournament during the morning time because there are so many teams that wanted to participate. So they already start playing different parishes against each other. And actually, my parish, San Alfonso's, won yesterday, so I'm very proud.
Congratulations.
Of them. So they already start doing some playing, you know, during this week. So then we don't have so many games on that day on Saturday. So from 9 to 12, they're going to finish the soccer tournament. And then from 12 to 4 o'clock, we are going to have different folkloric dances from different countries in Latin America. We have the Chileans, the Peruvians, the Mexicans, adults and the Mexican children, and the Ecuadorians team dancing for us. So we are very excited. Every year we are getting more and more groups that would like to participate.
We have a couple minutes left. I wanted to know who your guest speakers were this year.
Well, we are going to have, definitely we're having Mass with Bishop Cassian.
Okay.
And for the very first time, we are having a concert after the Mass with Santiago Fernandez.
Ah, he's a good friend. He's a great guy.
Yes. And actually, he was here for Rediscover 2 years ago when we had the big event. And so we are very excited to hear his music and celebrate with all the families. And this year we also are expecting the other diocese from our Region 8, Minnesota and the Dakotas.
So how do people find out about this? Do you have a website they can go to get more information?
Yeah, it is in our Archdiocesan website. There is the invitation with the little map and the program. And definitely, you know, at your own parishes, we have buses going out from different parishes, and just come over and enjoy some watermelons and great food that we are everybody's bringing. So we're going to have a great time.
And the date is August 13th. It's at St. Thomas Academy in Mendota Heights, and everybody is welcome. You got 350 volunteers. You're probably going to have thousands of people at this event. It's going to be a great event.
Yes, hopefully we will, and we are going to have a great day. We've been praying for sunny day and a light breeze.
Yeah, and pray for your soccer team too, St. Alphonsus. May they win. From your mouth to God's ears. Estella, it's always good to talk to you, and we'd love to have you back regularly just to let us know what is happening and to discover the beauty of the Latino community in the Catholic Church. Truly, the Catholic Church is a prism of glorious colors and experiences, and the Latino community is the fastest growing community in America, and we need to understand the Latino community and the various other communities, and you are doing a great job in doing that in the church and serving, so thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. And please, and everybody is welcome. Doesn't matter which language you speak.
Sure. Okay. Well, God bless you. That's Estella in the office of the Latino Ministries, and she is, I'll tell you what, she's the hardest working person, I think, around here, and she works very, very hard and reaches so many people, and pray for her and pray for the continued success. So we've got the Family Days in the Latino community coming up August 13th. Paul Sadek joins me, and we've got a lot of other things happening.
There's a lot of other things. Young Catholic men and women ages 12 to 17 are invited to deepen their faith and better discern God's calling in their lives by attending the Totus Tuus Vocation Day for Young Men and Daughter of God Retreat. Saturday, August 20th, 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at St. Paul Seminary in St. Paul. The day begins with a 9 a.m. Mass at St. Mary's Chapel. Cost $15 per participant or $30 per family, and includes lunch. Parents are invited to participate in the Mass and stay for the parent information session, which ends at 10:30 a.m. Meet with parents of current religious women, seminarians, and priests. Learn how to help your children discern God's call. Find out more, visit the events page at archspm.org or call Patty McQuillan, 651-962-6890.
Confirmation classes for persons with disabilities ages 16 or older will be held on Saturday, August 20th and Saturday, August 27th at the Church of St. Richard in Richfield. To find out more, please visit the events page on www.archspm.org or contact the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life at 651-291-6890. 4593. On Sunday, September 18th, Bishop Andrew Cousins will celebrate the Sacrament of Confirmation at St. Paul Seminary for persons with disabilities and who have completed the confirmation classes. Sing-along begins at 2:30 p.m., Mass at 3, and it includes sign language.
St. Genevieve Parish in Centerville invites you to their Parish Festival and Chicken Dinner Sunday, August 21st, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. There will be bingo, pull tabs, kids' games, silent auction, and more. Chicken dinner from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., raffle drawing at 4:30 p.m. Come enjoy a day of fun, and for more information, visit the St. Genevieve Parish website, www.stgens.org.
Come to celebrate the gift of being grand at the Catholic Grandparent Conference on Saturday, August 27th at Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville. The conference includes presentations with Bishop Andrew Cousins, Judy Cousins, Catherine Kirsten, and myself. For more information and to register along online, you can go to www.catholicgrandparenting.com or call Susanna Bowley at Bowles. That's actually the email. Bowles, B-O-L-L-E-S, at archspm.org.
And the Church of St. Henry in Monticello is celebrating their annual Fun Fest, August 27th and 28th. Come enjoy the sounds of three live bands, authentic Mexican dinner, games, activities for all ages. Visit sthenrycatholic.info or call 763-295-2402. And what's up next week, Jeff?
Coming up on the next Rediscover Hour, it's kind of a state fair theme. We're going to take it to the streets with the St. Paul evangelization leader and the local team. They're going to be talking about how to share the faith, and we're going to look at the Leading in Faith Awards. We're going to talk to a couple of the award winners. That's all coming up on the next Rediscover Hour. Until then, stay faithful to Jesus. We'll see you.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.